Proverbs. We're going to look at chapter 8 this evening. In the preceding chapters, Solomon placed much emphasis upon the importance of pursuing wisdom, listening to the words and instruction of wisdom. And in this chapter, wisdom is pictured as alive, calling out to men and women to come and to see the great things of God. So in this chapter, wisdom that we are to pursue is actually personified. And I believe that wisdom, of course, is Jesus Christ, and wisdom lives eternally in the person of the Son of God. Before we look at Proverbs chapter 8, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. And of course, the wisest individual is the one who is most conformed to the person of Jesus Christ, which is God's wisdom. In the book of Colossians chapter 2, book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, in whom, the whom going back to Christ of verse 2, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So wisdom is alive. Wisdom is a person. It's Jesus Christ. Wisdom, of course, is in Jesus Christ. If we go back to Proverbs chapter 8, we see the first 9 verses. There is a call that goes forth from wisdom. There's 2 questions, rhetorical questions, that are asked in verse 1. It says, doth not wisdom cry? And that word cry means to call out loudly. Does not wisdom call out loudly? It conveys the idea of proclaiming. Wisdom proclaims things. Wisdom publishes truths. It has reference to preaching. Wisdom cries out. So wisdom has something to say. The wisdom that is from above, heavenly wisdom. We're not talking about earthly wisdom. We're talking about heavenly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom has something to say. No matter what your circumstances are, wisdom has something to say about your circumstances. And it would be wise to listen to what wisdom has to say. It would be wise to receive what wisdom has to say. The second question is, an understanding, which is, we've seen up to this point, is discerning insight. Understanding put forth her verse, her voice, which speaks about the godly advice. Wisdom is full of godly advice. Godly advice for you and I. So this wisdom, this understanding, it's there to instruct us. It's there to direct us. It has a voice. It's alive. It has a voice, and it speaks to man. Now you'll notice in verses 2 and verse 3, we see 5 places where wisdom and understanding speak. In verse 2, he mentions the high places. That is, the places where the call can be heard. This is a call that is heard, the call of wisdom. The second place that is mentioned also in verse 2, by the way, in the places of the paths, which speaks, of course, of busy intersections where people travel. Wisdom speaks where people are. Wherever there's people, wisdom speaks. Wherever there's people, wisdom speaks out and proclaims certain truths and is there to instruct and is there to guide. We see also in verse 3, she crieth at the gates of the temple, the gates of the city, where justice was administered. And wherever justice is to be administered, wherever it is the responsibility for justice to be administered, it would be wise to hear the call of wisdom. To hear the call of wisdom. Oh, that our court systems today would hear and would listen to the call of just simple wisdom. And so we see also in verse 3, at the entry of the city, which is where people come in from the country to conduct business. It's talking about ordinary people coming from the country to conduct people. And wisdom cries out. At the coming in at the doors, which of course could be the doors of the temple, the doors of the city, the doors of people's houses. It simply reveals that this is a public message for everyone. It is a public message for everyone to hear. And then notice in verses 4 and 5, we see the call of wisdom goes out to all classes of people. He mentions four groups of people. He says in verse 4, unto you, O men, I call. O men, I call. He goes on, he speaks of the sons of man, and my voice is to the sons of man. Verse 5, third group, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And then also in verse 5, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. The point is that wisdom goes out to all classes of people. All variety of circumstance. Wisdom instructs. Wisdom directs. And then notice we in verses 6 through 10, we have the actual instruction of wisdom. And we see that we are to do two things to the instruction of wisdom, or two things we're to do with the instruction of wisdom. Verse 6, hear. Hear. We are to hear what wisdom has to say. Do not turn a deaf ear to wisdom. Do not turn a deaf ear to biblical instruction, to biblical advice. And again, it doesn't matter what year it is. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing, what everybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what all the philosophies are saying. You would be wise and you could save your life, and I guarantee you, you will save yourself from much trouble if you will hear what wisdom has to say. A lot of problems would be averted if people would just hear, if people would listen to what wisdom has to say. But again, we see that wisdom is crying in the high places. It's everywhere. It's not as if wisdom is silent today. Wisdom is calling out in every corner, everywhere you go, wisdom is calling out, but people are not hearing. People are not listening. People turn a deaf ear to the cries of wisdom. And then notice in verse 10, something else that we're to do. We're not only to hear wisdom's instruction, but it says, receive my instruction. We need to hear what wisdom has to say, and we need to receive what wisdom has to say. And again, the Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the soils, there is emphasis is laid upon not just hearing the word of God, but receiving the word of God. We receive it when it becomes a part of us. We receive it when it actually makes a change and actually makes a difference in our lives. You can hear something and it not make much a difference, but if you receive it, it makes a difference in your life. So we are to hear and we are to receive the instruction of wisdom. And wisdom is out there, and the cry of wisdom goes forth today, and we again must hear and we must receive. Then he goes on, and he mentions seven characteristics of the message of wisdom. How do we know? How do we know when we hear something whether or not it is heavenly wisdom or earthly foolishness? How do we know the difference? Well, he gives us some characteristics. The book of James tells us the differences between the wisdom that is from above and the wisdom that is from the earth. But notice the first thing he says, in verse 6, for I will speak excellent things. The message, the instruction, the direction of wisdom is one of excellence. It's not the everyday message. It's not the common message. It is one of excellence. What that means is it is superior. It is superior to everything else that you hear. It surpasses everything else that you might hear in the world. So wisdom speaks of excellent things. And the reason it is said that it speaks of excellent things is because wisdom declares God. Wisdom declares God, who of course surpasses all. Wisdom declares the will of God. Wisdom declares the ways of God. If you have any wisdom at all, you want to seek God. If you have any wisdom at all, you want to know the will of God. You want to know the ways of God. And may I say, God's will never runs contrary to His ways. That's why it's good to know the ways of God. Because when you know the ways of God, now you're better qualified to discern the will of God. So the wisdom speaks of excellent things. But then notice also in verse 6, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Wisdom declares what is right. It doesn't, whether you agree with what wisdom says, doesn't determine whether it's right or wrong. My opinion does not determine whether it's right or wrong. Your opinion does not determine whether it's right or wrong. Wisdom speaks only right things. The instruction of wisdom is only right. It's always right. The direction of wisdom is always right. Do not argue with wisdom, because wisdom is right. Do not argue with what God's Word says, because that's wisdom. And wisdom always speaks right things. It speaks of right doing. Wisdom will never tell you to do wrong. Wisdom will always tell you to do the right thing. Wisdom speaks of a right spirit. Wisdom does not promote a bad spirit. Wisdom only promotes a right spirit. It's foolishness to have a bad spirit, but it's wisdom to have a right spirit, and wisdom instructs us on how to have a right spirit. Wisdom instructs us in how to walk in right paths and the right way. Wisdom speaks of right things. Therefore, hear wisdom. Therefore, receive the message of wisdom, because wisdom speaks excellent things. Wisdom speaks only right things. And then he goes on in verse 7, and he says, for my mouth, this is talking about wisdom, shall speak truth. Again, it's not you and I or anybody else that determines what is true. God has already determined what is true. It's not something that needs to be determined. It's already been determined. And whatever God says is true. You say, well, that's not the way everybody lives. That doesn't matter. That doesn't determine what's true and what's false. It doesn't determine what's true or false by what people think. What people do does not determine truth. God's already determined truth. And wisdom always speaks truth. Wisdom never speaks error. Wisdom never speaks that which is false. Wisdom never speaks that which is erroneous. Wisdom only speaks truth. So why would anybody argue with wisdom? I mean, if you argue with wisdom, you're arguing against right things, because that's what wisdom speaks of, right things. You're arguing against truth, because that's what wisdom declares is truth. And is right things and truth, are those things going, and excellent things, are those things going to ruin your life? Are those things going to hinder your life? Are those things going to be a detriment to your life? Of course not. Those things will enrich your life. So again, hear and receive the instruction of wisdom. He goes on in verse 7. Again, this is wisdom speaking. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. That is the lips of wisdom. Wickedness is an abomination. So the message, the instruction, the direction of wisdom never leads toward wickedness. It never does. Last week we talked about going into the wrong neighborhood, going into the neighborhood of Satan. Wisdom will not lead you to hang around the neighborhood of Satan. Wisdom will cause you to stay away from those neighborhoods. And we see wisdom hates evil. So the message of wisdom is a message of holiness. Don't make fun of holiness. Don't ever ridicule holiness. And what a shame when God's people begin to laugh and to make a mockery of holiness. Wisdom is a message of holiness. Wisdom will never preach to you a message of unholiness, but only that which is holy. And he goes on along the same lines in verse 8. He says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. So, what is righteousness? Well, if we sin, it's because we do unrighteousness or we act contrary to God. So, righteousness is whatever is in conformity, whatever is in accord with God's law. And wisdom, heavenly wisdom, is always in accord with God's law. If it goes against God's law in any degree, it's wrong. And if it goes against, if the instruction or the direction is to violate the law of God, that is foolishness. That is foolishness. Now, you might follow it. You might even happen to agree with it. But that doesn't change the fact that it's foolishness. Wisdom is a message of righteousness. Wisdom is a message that is in accord with the law of God. He goes on, he says, there is nothing froward, that is disposed to disobedience. Wisdom is not disposed to disobedience, or perverse, improper, corrupt, incorrect. So there is nothing froward or perverse in them. The message of wisdom is free from sin. The message and the instruction and the direction of wisdom never leads in the paths of sin. Wisdom. Wisdom has a wonderful message. It's just we have to hear it. We have to receive it. And then notice what it says in verse 9. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. The message of wisdom is plain. That is, it's obvious. It is clear. Now, we realize that it's not obvious to all. It's not clear to all, and it doesn't say that here. It says that the message of wisdom is plain to him that understands, to him who has insight, to him who has the ability to discern. The message of wisdom is plain. If you have wisdom about you, you read the Word of God, and what it says is obvious. What it says is very, very clear. The message is not one of obscurity.
The message of the Word of God is not a message of obscurity. It's a message that is very plain. It is a message that is very obvious. It is a message that is very clear. It is man that casts a cloud of obscurity over the message of the Word of God. It's man that makes it more difficult. But the message itself is very plain and very clear. And the truth is, it's so plain, it's so clear, it's so distinct that those who are bent on foolishness, those who want to live in the paths of foolishness, they do not like a plain message. They do not like a clear message. Therefore, they seek to cloud the message. But to those who understand, the message is plain. The message of wisdom is plain. How plain, how clear is it to you tonight? The instruction and the direction of wisdom. Again, don't try to argue with something that is obvious. Don't try to argue with something that is as clear as the noonday sun. Don't argue with those things. Just accept it and yield to it. So we see wisdom cries. Wisdom has something to say. And the message of wisdom is a message of excellence. It's a message of truth. And so on. It's a message of righteousness. And it's a message that is plain. It's a message that is very, very clear. The Bible is very plain on how you and I are to live. Very plain. Bible's very clear. You may not like what it says, but that does not change what it says. And that does not change the plainness and the clearness of the message. You don't need new translations to understand the message. If you can read on a fifth grade level, you can understand the message. It's very plain. It's very obvious to them that understand. Then notice in verse 10 and 11, he again in the previous chapters, he's talked about you and I pursuing wisdom. He once again talks about the value of wisdom. In verse 10, he says, wisdom's instruction is better and more beneficial than the receiving of silver. Receive my instruction, that is the instruction of wisdom, and not silver. That is, if you have a choice between heavenly wisdom and the earth's silver, choose wisdom. It'll be more valuable to you. What are we to pursue more earnestly? Wisdom or silver? We're to pursue wisdom. Many in their pursuit for silver have forsook the instruction and the direction of wisdom. Wisdom will help you, and wisdom will be there when you come to the end of your life. When you come to the end of your life, your silver isn't going to do you much good. It's not going to be of much value to you. So the instruction of wisdom is better and more beneficial than receiving of silver. It's also better and of more value than gold. We see that also in verse 10. Verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies. Wisdom excels the worth of rubies. The instruction of wisdom excels the worth of rubies. Who's a better friend? The person who's going to give you silver and gold, or the person who's going to give you the instruction and the direction of wisdom? Wisdom is more valuable than all of rubies.
Wisdom excels all things, notice verse 11, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Do not compare the earth's riches to wisdom. It is more valuable to you to have a friend that is wise than a friend that is rich in the world's goods. And you would be better served if you would listen and receive the instruction of wisdom rather than pursuing silver and gold. And then he goes on in verses 12 through verse 21. He talks about some characteristics of wisdom. Again, wisdom is personified throughout this chapter. In verse 12, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. In other words, where there's the one, there's the other. I, wisdom, dwell or live with prudence. I, wisdom, inhabit prudence. What is prudence? Well, prudence is the right ordering of things. It's showing care. It's showing thought. It's being careful. It's the opposite of being careless in our lives. It's walking circumspectly, walking with great caution. A wise person orders their steps. A wise person is careful where they walk. A wise person is always concerned with the company that they keep. Wisdom dwells with prudence. And he goes on, he says, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Christ, the wisdom of God, is omniscient, and he knows. And he knows the hearts of men, and he knows all their evil designs. Then in verse 13, we see that wisdom is holy. Again, wisdom dwells with prudence. It does not dwell with evil. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord, which we've seen a couple of times now, is also the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate. And then he mentions five things that the fear of the Lord will cause you to hate. The fear of the Lord does not cause you to embrace these things. The fear of God does not cause you to be accepting of these things. The fear of the Lord causes you to hate these things. And again, he mentions five things. He mentions evil, that which is morally reprehensible, that which is sinful, that which is wicked. Wisdom, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, hates evil. By nature, men love evil. But wisdom teaches us to hate evil. How much do we hate evil? We live in a day where we are bombarded with the philosophy that we are to be a tolerant and accepting people of all things. But the Bible says that wisdom hates evil. It hates it. You say, well, who determines what's evil? God has already determined. Nobody needs to determine. It's already been determined. And God has determined it. Anything contrary to the Word of God is evil. That's evil. He goes on, he says, we're to hate pride, which is inordinate self-esteem. We're to hate arrogancy, which is different than pride, though it's a branch of pride. Arrogancy is a feeling of superiority. It's a very opposite of what Philippians 2 and verse 3 talks about, that we're to look at others and think of others better than ourselves. But wisdom, the fear of the Lord, hates evil. The fear of the Lord hates pride. The fear of the Lord hates that feeling of superiority. The fear of the Lord hates the evil way. The evil way is described throughout the Word of God. It is described as the way of sinners, the way of the ungodly, the way of evil men, the way of transgressors, the way of the heathen. This all falls under the category of the evil way. But the point is, wisdom hates it. Wisdom hates it. And then the fifth thing is, the froward mouth do I hate. And the froward mouth is that which is perverse, that which is disobedient. Wisdom hates it. Wisdom also has great influence upon public affairs and the well-governing of society. Don't you wish that some of our government leaders, most of them, could just have a little bit of wisdom? Just a little bit of wisdom. I'm not talking about earthly wisdom. I'm talking about heavenly wisdom. Notice verse 14. Counsel is mine. This is wisdom talking. Counsel is mine. What kind of counsel does wisdom give? It gives wise counsel. Counsel is mine. Book of Proverbs says there's safety in counselors. Now that, of course, depends on who your counselor is. If it's a wise counselor, there's safety. We're to seek counsel. And wisdom is our counsel. Counsel is mind and sound wisdom. I am understanding. That is, wisdom is understanding. Wisdom is insight. I have strength. By me, by wisdom. Again, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. Christ is in control of all these things. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Then he goes on, he mentions the happiness of those who have wisdom. Verse 17, I love them that love me. If you love wisdom, you will know also the love of God. And those that seek me early shall find me. If you seek wisdom, seek it early. That talks about eagerness. It talks about a earnest pursuit of wisdom. You will not be disappointed. You'll find it. Because wisdom's not hid. Wisdom's not hid. We've already seen it. It cries on the hilltops. I mean, it's out there. It's not obscure. So if you seek it, you'll find it. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And again, one of the wisest things to realize is that we lack wisdom and that we need wisdom. Riches and honor are with me. That is, there's prosperity and wisdom. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. That is, that which lasts. That which we're not talking about that which is vain, but that which lasts. My fruit is better than gold. Fruit of wisdom is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the ways of in the way of righteousness. Wisdom leads in the way of righteousness. And that's why people today will say, well, I prayed about it, and I prayed and prayed and prayed, and they still did the wrong thing. Wisdom will not lead you in the wrong path. Wisdom will lead you in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. And then he goes on in verse 22 through 36. We see that wisdom is personified here in the person of Jesus Christ. We just want to read these verses. First of all, notice wisdom's work before creation. And again, picture this as Jesus Christ. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. That speaks of Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. And then notice wisdom's work in creation, verse 27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. That is wisdom. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, and when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. The best commentary in these verses is John 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the best commentary on these verses. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. That's why we read in the book of Romans chapter 8 that you and I are to be conformed to the person of Jesus Christ. That's God saved us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And the more conformed we are to the image of Jesus Christ, the wiser we are. Seek wisdom. And seeking wisdom, you have to seek Christ, because Christ is the wisdom of God. And then the chapter closes in verses 32 through 36. Again, wisdom makes another plea. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hearken. This is the plea of wisdom. Hearken unto me. Blessed are those that keep the ways of wisdom. Hear instruction. In the context, it's talking about wise instruction. And be wise. Refuse it not. You have a choice. You can hear, you cannot hear. You can receive, you cannot receive or reject. Refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Wisdom won't ruin your life. Wisdom won't take away happiness. Wisdom won't take away joy. Wisdom will give you life. Wisdom will give you a life that's worth living. And then there's a warning in verse 36. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. You sin against God, you harm your own soul. Wisdom will not harm you. Wisdom will not hurt you. Sin will. Why is it that people insist on hanging on to sinful philosophies and hanging on to that which will ruin their soul and argue against that which is right? And again, some people will say, well, that's your opinion of what's right. No, wisdom, right has already been determined. Read it, black and white. Read it, what it says. Again, the message is plain. The message is clear. Receive it. And then it goes on to say, all they that hate me love death. That's not talking about physical death. It's talking about everything that death represents. If you hate wisdom, you love separation and alienation from God. Wisdom will not separate you from God. Wisdom will not alienate you from God. Wisdom will draw you closer to God. So the best way to live is to pursue wisdom. That ought to be our pursuit throughout our Christian life, which is actually a pursuit of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Brother Larry, if you'd come.